Conciliums with Pete and Charlie.
I'm Pete.
I'm Charlie.
The unity of knowledge.
That and a whole bunch of caffeine is what's going to get us through this.
Hey, let's do things different than a lot of podcasts do. Let's get your plugs in right at the beginning, right?
Do we have plugs?
Yeah, bring your head over here. I'm going to cure your baldness. Now, tell me about the shows that you've got coming up or things that you're going to be doing soon.
Well, you know, these podcasts always air a week or two later, so one never knows. But, I think it's April 20th is the Sweetwater 420 Festival here in Atlanta.
420 probably is on the 20th.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. It's April 20th. No, it can't be because it's on the weekends.
Okay. Let me pull out a calendar.
It's probably near April 20th. But as I recall, Sunday, April 20th is the last day of the festival. This is an annual event. Really great music.
I'm stunned that you avoided the Sunday joke.
Well, actually,
not even a joke reference.
I did a new version of the joke for our
420 is a Sunday this year.
Yeah, and so Sunday is the last day of the festival.
Okay,
and
so that's Friday the 18th, Saturday the 19th, and Sunday the 20th
out at Centennial Olympic Park. If you look up Sweetwater 420 on the internet, you will in fact find it. The Sunday, I believe it's 4:30 in the afternoon, is when the Geekapalooza Comedy Tour is appearing in Centennial Olympic Park. We'll be in the Relapse Comedy Tent, which sounds kind of weird. Relapse Comedy.
Relapse close? Oh, no, that was Whole World Theater.
No, Relapse did close.
And Whole World also.
Whole World might have moved, I think.
Okay.
But Relapse is
apologize,
which is
too
bad. Relapse and Bob Wood and the folks involved. Shelly Schmalz. I'm not sure.
That's correct. Shelly Schmalz?
Yeah.
Okay.
She runs the Relapse Comedy Tent and was integrally involved in the Relapse Theater. They did some great stuff with improv and stand-up comedy, and it's a shame that they're gone. But their comedy tent at the Sweetwater 420 Festival lives on. And a bunch of nerd comedians, 4:30 on Sunday, April 20th, part of the Geekapalooza Comedy Tour, will be there. We just had a great show at the Laughing Skull Lounge on this Monday, which is the 24th of March, where we did nerd comedy there. The only drawback of that entire show was my car got booted when I was in the parking lot across the street.
Why did you get booted?
Well, here's why.
Did you fail to pay for parking?
No, I did pay for parking. But
did you park
in
a Utrecht space?
In a what space?
A Utrecht space.
What's a Utrecht space?
There's
a store
called Utrecht.
Yeah, there's an art store. Yeah. No, the parking's the place across the...
Did you leave your car there overnight?
No, it has some reserved spots
for
like
Utrecht,
for Starbucks and Utrecht.
Yeah. You parked in one
like
of those,
that.
Didn't you?
No, I parked in a regular spot. I paid my thing.
And then you kept your ticket.
I kept my ticket. So this is what they do, and this is nothing but extortion, and I will make it the focus of my remaining days on this planet to make sure that I forget the name of the parking services.
Are they
company.
Park Atlanta?
No, they're not Park Atlanta. Park Atlanta's had a lot of complaints against them, and Park Atlanta's really cleaned up their act. I think Park Atlanta's doing okay. But this is another service that private parking lots contract. So here's what happens. It is a... To me, a reasonable expectation that when it says nothing on your ticket about putting it on your dash, and it says nothing by the machine about putting it on your dash, and there's a completely independent single sign in the entire parking lot that says, leave this on your dash. And if you don't leave it on your dash, they don't do what Park Atlanta does,
which is check the
electronic machine. They punch in a code and they read out who's paid and who hasn't, and they could see, you're expired, and they give you your tickets. And, I've gotten tickets from Park Atlanta because my time expired, and you've got to live with that. What these guys do is, if you fail to put your, your receipt, by the way, they don't call it a parking ticket or parking pass; they call it a receipt.
Yeah,
which implies a reasonable expectation that you should take it with you, like you do with Park Atlanta meters and in almost every other major city in the country,
so that you can prove that you paid.
And they would check it through the electronic parking meter like Park Atlanta does. But in fact, what they do is they come back and they boot every car that forgot to put it on their dash.
And it does seem kind of extreme.
Yeah,
it seems
for me,
like
that was 20% of the cars in the lot.
Really?
Yeah. So I went back, and there were only a few cars left at 11 o'clock at night when I was there. And I paid $5 for all-night parking. My thing was good till 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And so there are like four cars out of, maybe 15 that were booted. And Mine was booted, and so was a very nice gentleman who is a neuroscience postdoctoral researcher from Emory who came to see our show because it was Nerd Comedy. And he comes out there, and his was booted as well.
This is the business model, though, is it not?
This is extortion, plain and simple. Let's call it what it is.
You say potato.
You say revenue model. No, it's a great revenue model because here's what they do. They said, oh, yes, we'll be out there in 15 minutes to take your boot off, and we can reduce the fine if you can produce your ticket to $25. This is extortion.
You'll just deal with 25 bucks. You'll just be like,
no,
Jesus.
I didn't.
But I'm saying, in general, it's like, oh,
no,
Jesus,
most people will. Most people will do it.
Yes, fine, go away.
Yeah.
What would be if they come and say, yeah, we'll take the boot off for how much is it if it's not?
If you don't have a ticket, it's 75.
Huh. Interesting.
But if you parked illegally, you parked illegally.
Yeah.
But it is a reasonable expectation. That's the thing. I believe, right? And so, you know, maybe we'll talk later about wild-ass guessing versus theory. It is my current theory that they purposely put one and only one sign.
Looking for that particular
receipt. It is an unreasonable expectation when they label it receipt and they don't put it on the receipt that you need to place this on your dash. And like I said, if a guy with a PhD in neuroscience did it and a guy with a PhD in chemical engineering did it, I think it is discriminatory against worldly people that park all over in cities all over the country where this is not the practice, right? If you came in from the country and said, I've never parked in a parking lot in Atlanta, I'm going to read all the signage. But I'm busy. I have stuff to do, man. This is an unreasonable expectation. Now, luckily, this weekend, and by the time this airs, it will have passed, I am the MC at the main stage for the expo for the Atlanta Science Festival. One of the guys I get to introduce.
Where are you going to park?
That's a good question. One of the guys I get to introduce is Kasim Reed, the mayor of Atlanta.
Are you going to mention?
Oh, yeah. Kasim, get ready. You're going to hear about this one.
No, this is what networking is all about. I want to get right up next to power to explain my own personal prejudices.
Well, yeah. No, I've already made a Better Business Bureau complaint. They are not registered with the Better Business Bureau, as you might imagine, and they have a ton of complaints. This is a crusade for me.
I'm going to say two things, Pete. We've said on the show before, no one reads signs. That's a known value.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
And two, I have parked in that lot many times.
Actually, these guys cover many lots in Atlanta.
This lot you're talking about, I've parked in it many times.
It's across the street from the Vortex.
From the Vortex and the Laughing Skull. It's next to Bulldogs. It's down the street from Villains. It's right next to the Starbucks. It's very close to a couple of apartment buildings that I have been in on occasion.
Legally or illegally? Were you wearing a ski mask when you were in those apartment buildings?
No ski mask, but I plead the fifth on the other question.
Okay, so you know where there's actually two lots next to each other, and I'm not sure if the same parking
I was on the corner lot, not the other lot.
Yeah, that's where I was.
Right. I have never had your problem.
You put your thing on your dash? Put your ticket on your dash?
I put my thing in a very careful place.
Down the front of your pants? What is that?
I'm just saying I've never been booted in that lot.
Wait, so what do you mean you put it in a very careful place? I put it in my wallet.
I was making a dick reference.
Oh, okay.
A slight inference or intimation.
So I was in fact correct with my first guess.
Yeah, yeah. But that was a joke.
But you took it with you. You didn't put it on your dash.
No, I'm saying that I have never been booted in that lot.
Where did you put your receipt?
I think I probably put it on the dash if that's where you have to put it to avoid a boot.
Okay. So you saw the one sign of many that had that on it.
I'm not a sign reader, and I do like
to
drink.
Oh, but I will say this. I parked in that lot for years whenever I was at the Laughing Skull.
Yeah.
This is a recent phenomenon. This is only in the last year that this new parking services company is
involved. Been to Laughing Skull a lot in the past year, too. There's been a bunch of podcasts. Okay. Well, not a bunch. There's been a podcast taping and several
you saw Mark
comedy
Maron
shows.
There,
I saw Mark Maron. I saw Kyle Kinane. I saw Greg
So
Proops.
What are you saying? I'm a bad person because I'm taking it as a personal crusade to make sure that these flagrantly unfair business practices by this company, they will disappear.
I'm saying that I think that sometimes the not reading the sign is not being too busy, but thinking too much.
I would agree with that. I'm always thinking. I got thoughts coming in, left and right. There's nothing I can do.
Coming out of all your holes. You got to stop thinking a little bit. You got to spend some mindfulness. You got to... when you're parking, that should be what you're doing, right? You were probably thinking about where you had to go after you got
Are
your
Are you kidding? I had receipt, four tons of junk to
exactly.
take into the
this
club
is what
with
I'm talking
me.
About.
This was our second show in 2 days. I hadn't even put together my set list. There's nothing worse than a comedian who's still thinking, I got 15 minutes to open this show with. What am I going to do?
This is why I have said before that if you got to be smart and sad or dumb and happy, I think I would prefer dumb and happy these days.
Really?
Dumb and happy, like here I am, I'm parking. I'm going to go check the thing. Oh, put it on the dash. Okay.
But I even spoke to Marshall Childs, who runs the club.
I saw Marshall Childs do stand-up at the Kyle Kinane show. He did. He opened. Mm-hmm. He had some had part of the opening before the Saturday show for Kyle Kinane. Mm-hmm. And he had a rough set. And I thought that he was a guy who'd never done it before. It was strange. I didn't realize it
no,
was
he's
Marshall Childs.
Extremely experienced.
So that's the thing. So like he had a bad set.
What is the show that you're talking about?
Okay, Kyle Kinane.
Who is Kyle Kinane?
A very funny comedian.
Okay.
He
Where was he appearing?
At the Laughing Skull.
Oh, okay.
And Marshall Childs dropped in. He took a 10-minute slot
right.
Before the Saturday late show
yeah.
of Kyle Kinane. Maybe a month ago-ish.
Okay.
It was a bad set. Like, the audience didn't really like him, and there were a couple like faltering jokes.
Yeah.
And I was, I watched him. I'm like, where did this guy come from? That was a bad set. And then I noticed his name in some text about the Laughing Skull
yeah.
later. I'm like, holy crap, is that the same guy? And it
yeah.
was the same guy.
Yeah, he has business partners, but it's basically his show.
Yeah.
He does.
And so I kind of wondered, what was that? What happened? Was he having a bad day?
No, I think
and
I
he had
could
a
explain.
Terrible set? Or...
There are three things to consider. Number one is, first of all, everyone has a bad set.
Absolutely,
sometimes.
And I'm not saying.
I know
how could he? It was just sort of a surprise to me.
There's two reasons why Marshall would be up there, given that he basically runs the club. Number one, one nice privilege of running the show is if you want to try something out new and you got it, you get to try it in front of a good. Warmed up audience.
A hot
like
crowd,
that.
Right?
Yeah, hot crowd. So you try it. And when we try new stuff, here's the deal. I don't care how good you are. I don't care if you're Chris Rock. Some of your stuff works. Some of it doesn't. I mean, some of it is just... I mean, for those of you that listen to our podcast with Steve Hofstetter, he was claiming he gets maybe a 20% return on his jokes, and it used to be much worse.
Right.
He's absolutely right. So you try new stuff. It might kill, and it might not. And there isn't a good... predictor for that. Steve's getting better. He's got a 20% rate. He claimed he used to have like a 5. Maybe I'm 10.
What does that mean? What does that percentage mean?
10% of the jokes that you write that you think are going to be good and you try out actually are funny. And sometimes the joke that you think is the funniest thing and you were laughing your head off on the drive into the club that night, just bomb. And then sometimes just the stupidest thing you made up on stage.
Right, that just happened in that moment.
It's part of a rant work.
Yeah.
So it's very possible he was trying to do some new stuff and it didn't work. That's why he only did 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Here's the other reason. The other reason is, he's the guy that has the responsibility of getting people there. He might have had a feature or some guest spot
who
just
blew out.
Cancel.
Right.
And so he just realized with 30 seconds to go, I got to go out there. And that's the thing. That's kind of tough. If you're not prepared to go out and get out there and you have to do that, and maybe you got a sinus headache or something like that.
So looking back.
So Marshall's a very funny comedian, actually. I've worked with him for years. The problem is you just never know. Ray Barone and,
right.
These guys have bad sets, too. Everybody talks about their worst set. Mine was in Homosassa Springs, Florida, actually.
Looking back, my first thought was, this guy has not done this very much at all. This is a change of life career move, right?
No.
And then, I got it wrong, obviously.
Yeah.
And then I found out, this is a person who, this is a professional stand-up comedian
yeah.
who's been doing it for a while.
Yeah,
and
he's open for Bob Saget and a lot of big names.
So I was like, okay, so now it's very likely that I saw a bad set by a good
yeah.
comedian. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking back on it, and I was like, he seemed really angry.
Actually, that's part of his shtick.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But he didn't seem angry like, I'm angry and here's some things. He just seemed like he was pissed off and trying not to think about it.
Maybe it was you.
Yeah,
well, but see,
me.
That's the thing. Like I said, if he was the fill-in guy because one of his people didn't show up and he was in a bad mood, perhaps about getting his car booted across the street, which Marshall told me has happened to him several times, it's just not going to be that great. And this I will say. I love comedians. They're just very artistic, interesting people. They're some of the most interesting people you'll ever meet. And Marshall knows this because he has to depend on them. They are the least dependable people on the planet. They are just the worst. There's a few that are dependable. Those are the ones you want to work with.
So let me ask you this. Do you think that if you were just a scientist that you would have gotten booted?
Let me think here.
What was it
maybe
that distracted
not, because
you?
If I were just going to the Laughing Skull to watch a show, which I do, it's a great comedy club.
You would
club.
Have been in the moment and thinking, now I'm parking, and Atlanta yeah. parking's difficult, so let me make sure I see all the, and oh, yeah. leave it on the dash. Don't you think you would have done that?
So to be honest, I saw the sign, but
did
I read it.
Did you see the sign?
I did see the sign. I read it so fast, it said, you know, place ticket that attendant gives you. On your dash. And what I thought is there was a dual mode there. When the attendant's there, he gives you a ticket and you put it on your dash. When he's not there, you pay at the machine, and it said receipt, so I took it with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you can clearly remember all this. You did the categories. You knew what you were yeah. doing. You made the wrong decision.
But this speaks to the nature of cognition, right? I read it so fast that I missed the word automatic attendant. I literally missed it. Because later I was so ticked off. I read it. I realized it said exactly what I was supposed to do. So I thought it was a do. So I literally said, I'm keeping it with me
right.
because it, this is now an electronic mode. The attendant
yeah,
is
yeah,
not
yeah.
here. But it said automatic attendant. And let me tell you how things work.
Wait. Let's give it a moment. Because if you're going to tell me how things work, this is the last moment when I don't know how things work.
Okay.
This is amazing.
So if you're listening, get some popcorn, settle in.
Pete, tell me how things work.
How things work with respect to this one tiny issue.
Oh,
so calm down.
What a letdown.
I'm not going to give you the key to
I
the
thought
universe.
You were going to give me the moment. I thought we were going to talk about the cosmos and we were going to talk about how the stars swirl above you and the guy comes out of the dark with the axe. That spoiler
staring
alert.
Staring up at billions and billions of stars. Do you know what I realized,
he
though?
He says that he never said that.
He never did say that. He never. Johnny Carson said that, actually.
That was the
yeah,
gag?
Yeah, that was the gag, but... I realized I was working on a bit for this thing.
Let's very quickly give some context. That was a Carl Sagan impersonation by Johnny Carson that was just referenced by both of us. And Carl Sagan said that he never said billions.
He said that
on
the Johnny Carson show, actually.
Said, never said billions and billions. Yeah. And then Pete just said that's correct. It was Johnny Carson. Although I bet you Carl Sagan had said.
Oh, later he did because he made a joke about
life.
That.
Well, no, I'm just saying in
probably somewhere
yeah, there's
in, a,
no way.
In a lecture on astrophysics at Cornell University where he was on the faculty. But I was working on a bit about, you know, how students think we're just alien spawn, the faculty. They're terrified of the faculty, which is sad. We're trying to increase student-faculty interaction. I think that's a good thing. And the joke I was working on is that, you know, students just think we sit in front of a computer with a streaming cascade of data that has their grades and their evaluation as to their value in the universe. And
looks just, like the Matrix.
Yeah, it looks like the Matrix. And I like to mess with people, put on dark sunglasses, walk up behind them and say, well, Mr. Anderson,
you know, the Matrix,
your homework is late.
It's almost a 15-year reference now.
It is. It's old.
It really is old, isn't it?
I couldn't stand the stink of it all.
Somebody who was conceived after a date where their parents went to the Matrix, they'd be in high school right now.
Indeed they would.
Like just starting. Is that right?
Yeah, let me think.
Summer of 1999.
Well, my son is 14. Oh, they,
was it the Matrix?
I don't know. No, it wasn't the Matrix. I saw the Matrix on TV.
I'm wrong though because the conception time. So they would be they would be getting ready.
There,
they would be getting ready to go to high school.
That's my son. He's going to high school next year. Was he conceived while we were watching the Matrix?
Or after even?
Probably
during one of the sequels. The sequels were much worse than the original.
Well, Mr. Anderson, do you have a condom? No, I'm working a bit. So I was trying to imitate Neil deGrasse Tyson, actually. And I realized...
You're trying to imitate Neil
well,
deGrasse Tyson?
Well, I was going to go from Agent Smith to Neil deGrasse Tyson, and I realized you really don't have to change much. They kind of sound a lot alike.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, so I'm working on that
I don't know.
No, I don't mean that in a derogatory fashion. He's a little less menacing.
What would be
But he has a low voice. He's kind of a Barry White kind of dude, man.
What would be your... What would be your anchor? What would be your in on the Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Neil deGrasse Tyson So you now realize the secret of doing impressions. You need to find the one signature thing they do and exaggerate it. He goes high and low, whereas Agent Smith is mainly low. But Neil deGrasse Tyson has a very low, melodious voice. It's a really good voice.
He rumbles. Yeah.
So I'm still working on him. He's hard, you know. But I was about to tell you how things work.
Yeah.
And that is that if you're...
About one damn thing, though, Pete. Well, that's not enough.
Cognition for people that are going a mile a minute, like you and I, who are doing lots of different
things. I'm trying very hard not to go a mile a minute anymore. I think that's a very important thing to do.
Yeah.
I even sent an email yesterday.
Congratulations.
That said, thank you. One email! 10,000 to go. I sent an email yesterday that said, and I paraphrase, we were talking about doing this. I now realize that I do not have the time to do this well, and I cannot be a part of it.
Whereas I write, I realize now I don't even have the time to do this half-ass. Forget you, dude. I'm out of here.
It felt really good.
No, that's good. I need to do that
more
too.
It felt real good to write that email, and I got an immediate response with sort of a, no problem, here's a thing we can do to be better prepared next time, and maybe we can plan for... Yeah. Later. And I'm like, okay, that worked. Wish I'd done that last week before I
started working on it.
What might have been a stress-induced vomit fest this weekend. You know, I think my body packs stress.
Stress-induced vomit fest. I think my this body fall from Touchdown
packs
Pictures.
Stress into my stomach and intestines.
Oh,
and
it goes into my stomach.
And waits until there is some event.
Like a debutante ball.
Yeah, right.
You're around people wearing white gloves.
In my digestive system. Now, I think that when I'm under stress, I am much more susceptible to things like food poisoning or upset stomach or whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
You know, I think that I ate something that normally my body would have just been like, you better lie down for a minute, you know.
Right.
But instead, I ended up, well... I just emptied myself, both spiritually and physically.
Kablooey.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that without the stress that I'm experiencing right now over the abstraction of my work self, that I would have been able to manage that with just sort of a, you know, just a bad time as opposed to a long, drawn out 48 hours of illness.
Yeah, vomit fest, is that what you call it?
Well, I don't call it anything in particular. That was just the first thing that came to mind.
Okay. But I think that, you know, when you're in that stress position, you're doing a lot of things, you're multitasking, you're worried about a lot of things, you read things and you speed read them. You read them very quickly. And you're these
while
people,
vomiting?
These people, no. Well, while vomiting, you would definitely read things. Like, wait, what does that say?
I'll tell you this. I have never thrown up while wearing a tie before, but now I've done it.
And it, yeah.
Cross that off my bucket list.
It gets on the tie, doesn't it?
Tie was completely clean.
Ooh, you're good.
I was good. It was only once, though, that I threw up with the tie on. I then got the tie off later.
You're one for one. But
how do things work? You got just a few minutes left.
So I missed automated attendant. Yeah. And then I realized later that night when we had this giant 3-foot-wide, 82-inch tall retractable sign on stage with the Geekapalooza Fest. I got to get this reprinted now. I had fixed several typos in it before we sent it off to the printer. But, you know, I'm looking. I'm reading. I'm very familiar with the text.
You are legendary for single typos on a sign.
Yeah, single typos. Right. You know, if you're going to make a typo, make three, right? But no.
Make it a mess. Make it like, oh, well, no one cares about that one. But you will do a beautiful sign with graphics and images and words.
It was a gorgeous sign.
And then down at the bottom, you'll have an apostrophe in the wrong damn place, Pete.
Yeah, but that we fixed with a little whiteout, so... No, and if you're going to put an apostrophe in...
Whiteout or liquid paper?
I don't recall the brand name of the correcting fluid.
That's my new
correction
band.
Fluid.
Brand
that
name of
is,
the correcting fluid.
There's a joke to it. And the joke was born.
That's my submission to a season in Carcosa 2.
I mean, most people think, you know, fluids are bad. Bodily fluids, you don't want to get them on them. But correction fluid, that could be a good thing.
Corrective fluid.
I mean, if you mix an unwanted fluid, like a bodily fluid, with a corrective fluid, does it cancel each other out? And it's a neutral fluid. All right.
Nice.
So we had a typo on the side where a big thing at the top where it says, you know, proving nerds can be funny and not just funny looking. I spelled funny looking wrong.
How did you spell funny looking wrong?
Oh, my God.
How would you even?
F-U-N-N-Y, Dash, which is the proper spelling because it's a single modifier. Looking, LOOKINNG.
Double N. You double N'd.
I double end it. Lou Lefton, who saw the, he looked at it before we sent it off. He didn't catch it either. But the very nice woman who was the husband of our videographer caught it. She took a picture before we performed. She took a picture, posted on her Facebook page, and she goes, "Yeah, look at these guys." I'm like, "Yeah, not just funny looking, funny spelling too." So we're gonna get that.
That's pretty. Not funny spelling though, Pete. That's just hyping N twice and not noticing.
Yeah, but what's funny is
funny spelling would be F U N N I,
okay,
dash L U K I N G.
Oh,
funny looking.
That would be like bad spelling.
That's a funny spelling.
But what are we saying? Are we saying, is the message of today's podcast, we need to slow down, be in the moment, not be multitasking so we could do things better?
So I am much like a person who starts a diet. I am completely converted.
Full of crap.
And into, yes, into this mindfulness thing. You know, I recently had a month where I slowed things down. I removed some of my responsibilities, like, you know, carefully and on purpose. I said,
because
I'm not going
like,
to do
neglect
that.
Neglect your wife and child. That
no,
wasn't
no. I've been paying more attention to them. I mean, this, that's been the purpose. Yeah, it's been awesome. But it's like, I can't be part of that project. I don't have the time, you know, catch me next year. Or you know, I won't be able to finish this the way, you know, asking people to come on and help with Lost in the Stacks, the one and only Research Library rock and roll radio show. You know,
Fridays at noon on WRK Atlanta, 91.1 FM.
Or streaming at lostinthestacks.libsyn.com.
And at the Folsom Prison cable network.
You look like you're going to a funeral. I cleared my decks is what I've been saying. Like, I pushed things aside, yeah. So I had a
this
little
is good.
More
I need
space.
To do this. I need to do this.
And
you are my role model.
During that, you are so fucked. During that time, I felt really good.
Great.
And then it all came crashing down because someone said, "Hey, do this thing." Another person said, "This is great. Do this thing." And then someone else said, "Do this thing." And next thing I knew, I was back to where I started. So now,
dressed in latex rubber. With a bottle of baby oil in your hand.
Climbing a tower with a gun in the other
right.
hand. I had that moment. I'm like, oh, this is the right way to do it. This is the way to go. And it's just, it was one gear back from what I thought I needed to do. And I just spent more time looking at the thing I was doing. Mm-hmm. And by looking, I mean contemplating. I would say, okay, how am I going to accomplish this thing? As opposed to the standard, which is, okay, I got to send this email, I got to send this thing, I got to do that thing. I need
right.
an hour
putting
to write
out fires,
this.
Utter madhouse, mass hysteria.
Yeah, dogs and cats living together. Did we mention Harold Ramis already?
We did talk about the untimely death of our good friend. And mentor, Harold Ramis.
Man who taught me everything I know, and I forgot dude, all of it. But since we did have a moment of saying a Ghostbusters reference, let's just again say that Harold Ramis, of all people, he made some terrible movies. Like, he made a couple movies that are so bad that I will not watch them.
Well, what were his bad movies?
Bedazzled. And,
no, I didn't see that one, and I think I'm glad. Was that the one with Shaquille O'Neal?
No. And I might be getting the title wrong, but Brendan Fraser, it was a remake of a Dudley Moore Peter Cook film. But Brendan Fraser was a guy who, the devil gave him like seven wishes.
And the devil was played by Elizabeth Hurley.
Yes, that's right.
I've seen worse films.
You have.
Yeah.
But wasn't that a bad film?
That was not his...
Right.
That was not good work for Harold Ramis, but I still laugh at
it. And then also Year One. He made Year One with Michael Cera and Jack Black.
Okay, and I didn't see that one.
Anyway, he made some
really... Oh, yeah. That was the one where they're cavemen.
Yeah. Okay. He made some really bad movies.
Okay.
And noticeably bad movies. But at the same time, his life contained... his artistic life...
Right.
...contained these four, like... glorious
Ghostbusters, Caddyshack,
Stripes, and Groundhog's Day.
Wow,
Groundhog Day.
They're good. I actually don't think the two you mentioned were all that bad, actually.
They were pretty bad.
Yeah, compared to his other seminal works.
Yeah.
But still, the Bedazzled had some funny lines.
And he was in some bad movies, and he did some work that wasn't great, but he also did all this amazing work. Harold Ramis does not have the cult of personality that Bill Murray has, right? People don't talk about how, oh my God, it would be so cool if Harold Ramis would just show up and eat one of my French fries and then disappear.
I've always liked Harold Ramis.
Yeah, but you know that like the public, not public persona, but the cultural significance of Bill Murray, especially now after Rushmore and the whole Oscar, not Oscar, cynical, not cynical, sarcastic, not like Bill Murray is like Bacon. Symbolic and
of all
good.
That is good in America.
No, symbolic and good at the same time.
Oh, okay.
Right. Harold Ramis was just good. Harold Ramis, I don't think, was ever symbolic. He was, to some people, practitioners like yourself, he was a beacon.
Yeah.
Right? And people could say, oh, yeah, Egon, and that kind of thing. But Bill Murray, I mean, there's no Harold Ramis t-shirts that you can buy at thechive.com.
There may be now.
Oh, I hope so. But Harold Ramis was a craftsman and a person who did far more good than the bad.
Yeah.
You know?
He made the world a better place.
Hell yeah, he did. Anyway, you should read the sign, Pete.
Consilience with Pete and Charlie is a podcast about the intersection of science and the humanities.
What happened to the unity of knowledge, dude?
That's at the beginning. This is at the end.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for listening to Consilience with Pete and Charlie. You can find us on Facebook. You can like our page, share our episode announcements. Follow us on Twitter. You can find us on Tumblr, too. Pete and Charlie, we're all over the internet.
And what does the Georgia Institute of Technology and WRIK Atlanta think of the content of Consilience?
Hopefully, they'll never find out.